Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your savings are with Zurich. Visit zurich.ie to find out more.
Now, a meeting of EU foreign affairs ministers is still ongoing this afternoon, with discussions being dominated by escalating tensions over Ukraine. Our foreign affairs minister, Simon Coveney, is also briefing his counterparts on Russia's plans to hold naval exercises 240 kilometres off the southwest coast of Ireland. Well, for the latest on this, we're joined now by Shona Murray, Europe correspondent with Euronews, and also by Dr. Victoria Federchak, who is a European studies lecturer at the Norwegian University of Science and Technology, an expert in air power and contemporary warfare, and who is also originally from Ukraine. And you're both very welcome to the programme this evening. Shona, I'll start with you. And this meeting between the EU foreign affairs ministers, it has been ongoing since this morning, and discussions, I imagine, are being dominated by Ukraine.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, serious issues on the table, high on the agenda, of course, Syria and Mali, but very much so Ukraine, top of the agenda. We heard at the weekend, for example, US President Joe Biden saying that US personnel have to remove their families from Ukraine. The EU this morning criticising that move, saying it sort of destabilises the situation, creates panic. We had Anthony Blinken, the US Secretary of State, speaking to EU foreign affairs ministers for 3 hours, and that meeting has just wound up as well. And we know that Simon Coveney did address his counterparts and mention Ireland's concerns around those military exercises taking place outside Ireland, off the coast of Ireland. I mean, there's broad support for Ireland in this, but because those exercises aren't deemed illegal, there isn't going to be much said about it on the official level today. That's what I've heard so far.
And if there's nothing going to be done on an official level, is there anything at all Ireland can do then, or that the EU can do about the proposed exercise?
Well, not really, because they're not illegal. So I think this is going to be seen as a bilateral engagement between Ireland and the Russians. But there's obviously a concern, and there's a very much an understanding that this is a provocative move from Russia, a totally unnecessary one. That's the feeling in Brussels. But the priority is, of course, right now, the military situation in Ukraine. And I think very much part of that discussion is around EU member states or NATO member states moving military equipment to Ukraine, and that being the priority as well. There's also real concern that Germany has forbidden the exportation of German origin military equipment to Ukraine. So that's very much high in the agenda as well. The issue around Ireland is seen as I wouldn't say it's a minor issue necessarily, because obviously it's seen as such an aggressive move at this time, given Ireland's position and its membership of the European Union. But just because there's a sort of a knife-edge situation between Ukraine and Russia, that's really where the talks are ongoing. Because there's also was concerns sort of.
Well, I think we've lost Shona's line. We may be able to get her back up on the line in a short while. But we're also, as I mentioned, joined by Dr. Victoria Federchak. And you're very welcome to the programme, Victoria. I know you're an expert on air power and warfare, and you spent 2 years lecturing here in Ireland at Maynooth University. What do you think Russia is doing staging this naval exercise off our coast?
Thank you very much. Thank you for this opportunity to join your program. Well, first of all, I would say that we shouldn't forget the geopolitical location of Ireland, which is between a few NATO member states. Also, we shouldn't be forgetting that Ireland is a western border of the European Union. So obviously, it is of geostrategic importance for NATO member states and the EU member states. What Russia is basically doing is flexing its muscles like it was doing before in the European airspaces, again, illustrating its power, but also taking into consideration the current affairs and the situation in Ukraine. It is distracting attention from Eastern Europe to the western border of the European Union. If we talk about the exercises, specifically the naval exercises, they can potentially distract attention for their maritime capabilities of the NATO member states, because no matter which exercise is taking place in the region, it's still going to put pressure on the local military, whether it is Irish military or British, still that would cause additional tension. Interesting thing is, when we were talking about this statement about live fire that was made by the Russian counterparts, it's an interesting use of wording, but also it's one of the means to increase tension and increase uncertainty in this specific situation. So again, we can easily argue that it's the case of creating more tension and putting pressure not so much on Ireland, but on the alliance, on the EU, and to some extent prevent their actions or slow down their actions in the East, meaning in Ukraine right now. At least this is something I would take into consideration here.
From what Shona Murray was saying there, and I think we've shown her back on the line, but what she was saying there, Victoria, is that at that meeting of foreign ministers in the EU this afternoon, it looks like not a whole lot of attention is going on what is happening off the Irish coast or what is likely to happen off the Irish coast. All the focus is on the Ukraine-Russian border and what might happen there. Is that the smart way to go then, do you think, from the EU's perspective, to focus on what's happening in the East rather than the West?
Well, realistically speaking, it's the matter of threat perception and threat assessment. So what would be the most important for the EU to prevent a greater war in Ukraine? And in all fairness, the likelihood of full-scale invasion here is much greater, rather than some would suggest looking into exercises of Russia in the Western border. But realistically speaking, these exercises, they shouldn't be considered like something that might not escalate, or something that shouldn't be given enough attention, realistically speaking, because they will be taking place. When that's going to happen, and what will be happening in the East, again, what will be the parallel between the two? That would be the most important thing to pay attention, I would argue. But alertness of the local navies would be essential one way or the other. I mean, you don't want to have military ships being close to your sea borders.
Yeah, a lot has been said today about Ireland's defence forces and the need to strengthen our defences, and about how Russia regards Ireland as the weak link when it comes to European defence, and that is probably why they've chosen the location that they've chosen. Do you reckon there's any element of intelligence gathering by the Russian military in terms of setting up these exercises? Could they possibly, for example, be surveying our underwater communications cables or other intelligence gathering?
Thank you, Mari. That's an excellent question. Well, realistically speaking, the fact that Ireland is neutral kind of provides additional opportunities for Russia to explore it. Because if we're talking about NATO member states, they have greater emphasis on securing various capabilities. So from the perspective of intelligence gathering, yes, Ireland provides a greater opportunity for Russia. But in terms of communications, I mean, there has been a lot of analysis these days about what Russians are doing in the Arctic Sea. There, what kind of impact, what kind of data they are collecting regarding communications and cables. So it might be an opportunity for them also closer to the to Ireland to do that. But I'm not an expert on it. I won't give you 100% detailed answer on this.
All right.
Question.
Stay with us, Victoria, if you don't mind. I want to ask you about Ukraine and your read of the situation there at the moment. But as I said, Shona Murray is back on the line. And before we let you go, Shona, I wanted to ask you if we know if there's been any discussions about sanctions or removing diplomatic presence from Russia or indeed from Ukraine. I know you mentioned what the US are doing when it comes to Ukraine. And are we expecting any further comments from Simon Coveney this evening?
Well, we certainly are, actually, in the next few minutes. I'm just waiting for him now. We'll hear exactly the response from his counterparts. But I know, speaking to sources, that there hasn't been a huge response. And probably, like what your guest had said there, I mean, and I said earlier, the priority being the knife-edge situation between Ukraine and Russia. Now, in relation to sanctions, we know that the language coming from the EU and the US, there will be massive economic sanctions against Russia, the likes of which have never been before. But there is no detail on this yet. For obviously some reasons in relation to security, the EU doesn't want to put all its cards on the table, but also because, again, you're talking about 27 member states which will be sanctioning Russia, and sanctions have different implications for different countries. It's one thing to sanction a general in an army for moving green men or troops over the border. It's a different thing if you're going to sanction an oligarch who has millions or billions in Cyprus, and that will have an impact on the Cypriot economy. So there isn't a full agreement on that. That's kind of why Anthony Blinken was there today, not just to discuss his meetings with Sergei Lavrov, but also to ensure that there is unity from transatlantic perspective on this issue. We've seen jitters in relation to that from France, from Germany, in terms of, as I mentioned earlier, the exportation of German weaponry to Ukraine. And so I think that was really vital today, again, to ensure that they will be speaking on the same page when it does, if it does, come to implementing sanctions, because they will have to be done very swiftly, very deeply and very widely.
All right, Seán O'Murray, thank you very much for joining us from Brussels. And if we do hear any of those fresh comments from Simon Coveney, we'll bring them to you. Victoria, just back to yourself briefly. As I mentioned, you're actually from Ukraine yourself. How concerned are you at this point of an invasion of your country?
Thank you very much for that question. I've been concerned since 2014, so it's kind of, you're getting used to certain things. But realistically speaking, do we observe a greater likelihood of full-scale invasion? For sure. The only thing is that a lot of people are paying attention to the invasion from the northern or eastern part, but very little attention is being paid to Odessa region, which is strategically most important for Russia to get water to Crimea and actual supply chain. So I would be particularly worried about the maritime angle for the further invasion, because I think this is one of the greatest vulnerability at the moment, at least for us.
Okay. And just finally then, do you think that Ukraine is getting enough support from the EU and NATO?
I think we're getting enough support from our Baltic colleagues, we're getting support from Poland, Canada, US, UK, most certainly. Are we getting enough support from the entire EU? Well, your correspondent mentioned German and French position on the situation. I think that we're not getting much support from Germany and France, and it has tremendous implications to the security in Ukraine, but also to the unity of the EU, so the signals are not very beneficial for either.
All right. Well, thank you very much for joining us with your perspective on all of this. That's Dr. Victoria Fedorchak, and we will be coming back to this story later in the programme. Now, the Russian ambassador to Ireland, Mr. Yuri Filatov, has been giving a press conference at the Russian embassy this evening to answer questions about those Russian naval exercises off the south coast and about Russia's intentions towards Ukraine. Fergal Keane is at the Russian embassy. He joins us now. And what has Mr. Filatov been saying, Fergal?
He said that he called this press conference this afternoon because there were so many queries coming to the media, to the embassy, that he decided to get everybody together and answer all the questions there and then. So he gave opening remarks, and he said that reports about this naval exercise that's going to take place off the south coast in about 2 weeks' time were a non-story. That the exercise was a planned event. All navies do this kind of things. All shipping and aircraft in the air will be absolutely safe. And he said it's going to involve about three ships, didn't know if there were going to be submarines, and it was completely routine, he said. And here we'll hear a clip now of how he described what was going to happen and the reports surrounding it.
The story of the upcoming planned exercises by the Russian Navy in the Atlantic is in fact a non-story. It has been hugely overblown. These exercises are part of the yearly plan of naval activity for 2022, which is a sort of standing procedure with the Russian Navy as well as with other navies, I believe, in the world. The exercises have been duly notified to the Irish authorities' rules pertaining to the safety of air and maritime traffic will be strictly followed.
And he went on, Fergal, to say that the reports were propaganda.
He was very adamant about things, and he did answer all the questions that were put to him, and he spoke at length about the activities of the US and NATO in recent times and their attitude towards Russia. He said that they were being aggressive towards Russia, and it would be more in line for Ireland to use our influence with the EU to get NATO and the US to step down as regards Russia and the putting of forces on the Russian border. He spoke about that several times. He said the reports about this exercise were there to distract from that NATO policy towards Russia, and he did say they were propaganda. We can hear him now again.
It looks like the topic of exercises fits in the ongoing propaganda campaign waged by the US and its NATO allies to create an illusion of a Russian threat to Europe. I think we all witness a daily drumbeat emanating primarily from Washington and London, other NATO capitals, about imminent invasion of Ukraine by Russia. I will say it once again, it is a fake.
So what did he say then about the situation in Ukraine?
He again spoke at length about that, and he said that Russia had no intention of invading Ukraine or being aggressive towards Ukraine in any circumstances. He spoke about arms deals with the Ukraine and Western governments, which he said were going to give arms to Ukraine. He said that wouldn't threaten Russia in any way, but it would threaten people in the breakaway areas of Ukraine on the Russian border. He talked about the US intending to move 50,000 troops from Western Europe over to the border with Russia, how they had moved missiles into areas in Europe which would hit Moscow in 5 minutes flying time. But he said they had no intention whatsoever of invading Ukraine, and here he outlined what Russia wants.
We really need binding legal guarantees that, first, that NATO would not expand any further to the east, that it would not deploy any advanced strike systems along the border with Russia, and we would insist that the whole disposition of military forces be returned to the situation before 1997, which was a year when we have signed the founding Russia-NATO Act.
All right, Fergal Keane, thank you very much for that report. We'll be back in a moment.